The point is that that man was a murderer, that Lamech. He killed someone for insulting him. And then he married two wives, the first polygamist. He wasn't okay. Then his sons kept having all these skills. The father of this, where did they get it from? That's how King went and built a city for his son. He was the first one who built a city. Why? I've told you, Satan, one of the ways I know something is the devil. He always rushes ahead. Satan's nature is haste. He runs ahead. Listen to me. Let me give you encouragement. Don't be discouraged when you see someone seem to have run ahead of you to do something. You want to go and preach somewhere before you get there. They said a group has already come. Don't be discouraged. It's how Satan does. Are you hearing me? God seems to move slowly. Have you not read the book of Esther? Do you remember Haman?
Yes,
Satan, as a habit, runs ahead. Those who follow him always seem to be ahead, as though they are on the cutting edge of what's important, technology, on the cutting edge of business ideas, on the cutting edge. They like using words like that. You know what the cutting edge is? You know, before the cutting edge is nothing. The cutting edge is the foremost, the leaders in world-class services in dan dun da dun dan dan. Have you seen those adverts? Huh? Chusansu is the number one holder of award for bam bam boom bam boom. They did this thing award for da da da. My God, you look at that and say, Lord, when? Be very careful. It better be the Lord leading you. If Lord wants to put you in Nebuchadnezzar's court, like a Daniel, fine and good, but it better be him. Other than that, you're going to run after that thing. You will lose your soul. You will gain the world, but your soul will not be found. And God said, every soul is mine. So when you show up and they say, where's your soul? You say, I lost it. You lost my soul. Did you not hear every soul is mine? Thief. Then the punishment of a thief comes on you. Don't lose your soul. Warfare. Where did we go to last? Primary place. When we left 1 Chronicles 12, where did we go to? You guys are funny. Okay. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 says this. Remember what took me there? No, we went beyond here now. We are around verse 3. We are around verse 8, yes. The Bible tells you, I was telling you about being trained for battle and I started talking about money. That's what I was looking for, yes? You have to relate with money well. You have to be free of it. Don't love it at all. At all. Have no attachment to it. Don't want it. Don't want to keep it and look at it. Don't have much of it. Don't like money. Oh, I need money for school fees. Keep the money till it's enough to pay your school fees. I need money for rent. Keep it till it's enough. But when the time comes that you have more coming in than you can spend, treat it like something they gave you to hold. Act like a banker for God. Is that okay? If your brain works like that, I'm a banker for God, you'll be fine. I think that's all I'll say. For now, I still haven't said anything really, but it's okay. Just understand that that's how I've lived, and God is faithful. That I know with certainty. The Bible tells you these people were trained for battle. Watch and learn. The experiences in training come from words and actions you're involved in. I told you your training will require deliverance from addictions. Example, your phones can obsess you and take away every day from you, anything from 4 to 10 hours of productivity time. You're really going to have to find a way. Some of you have to do voice notes and drop it. Your people will have to know. Send you a message. You don't have to open it and read. If there was nothing urgent we were talking about, leave it. When you're in the vehicle going home, then you can look at it quickly and answer. You can answer in one line or two. How many of you have I answered? One line, two, a hug. Did you die? Do you hate me? Do I hate you? Did someone say they are not sure? uh, Have peace, child of God. Have peace. I am not joking. I am utterly serious. Have peace. Don't be overly agitated. No, no, no. I must answer this, my friend. No, she was just talking to me about. See, God is loving you. If it's me, I won't. I'll not talk about this. Remember, you came here for something. What did you come here for? The Bible says you should lay aside every weight. That's what the purification. I'm doing it now. I'm pouring water over you. I'll show you. I'll show you when we go back to Numbers 31. I'm pouring water over you. This is purification. You may not know it. It's what happens after you've gone out to war. I brought you here to explain war. Then we'll go back to Numbers 31. I brought you out here to explain war. War is violence. War is violence. War is an attempt for something to overcome you or you to overcome something. Are you listening? In war, something wants to overcome you, conquer you, enslave you, or you do the same. Major way the world and its desires wants to conquer you is through the phone. This is the most popular method of conquest the world has used in a few years. 2017, we're praying and we saw in visions before a retreat we had. It wasn't really a retreat. It was a daily series of meetings. And we saw an award was being given to high-ranking demonic powers. And the one of social media won for the first time over religion, false religion. False religion was, which normally used to be the lead, award for most people captured. Social media was seen being given the award. That's 2017. This is 2023. It's far worse now. It's far worse. The distraction is non-stop. So it's almost as though brains can't work anymore. I sit with people, I'm talking to someone, I'm angry with them. This place, they are looking at their phone. I'm angry with them. In front of the anger, they are looking at their phone. Then some say, okay, I'm actually writing what? So sometimes the person asks, are you writing something? Did I say something that is worthy of being written? It's an addiction. Remember dopamine? It gives you small bursts. When just that someone answered you, gives you a burst of dopamine. Small. That someone is taught, that you're about to, what serotonin? That you're about to, remember, to catch the mango while the monkey is going towards it. Do you remember? That is exactly what that monkey is doing because his brain is secreting serotonin. After it has gotten it, it goes down. Maybe now it's oxytocin, a little food. I shall not die, but live food. I told you, your body is a whole mishmash of chemicals. Constantly, it's driving you to do something. Dopamine, pleasure. From sex to dopamine. So it floods your body. That's the one that makes, that's what is in drugs. All that, it releases dopamine. It's what addicts people. Pleasure. 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 This is the world. That's what the body of death has done to us. A body of death. Death in the body. This is what came into the world. And it runs in us. Paul didn't say he's free of it. He said, I find in myself a law. It's a law. You can't separate yourself from these supplies. They are in there. You can learn not to respond to them. If you haven't heard me speak about this thing, go to some, I think the M3 meeting, the second one. A part of it. We'll still address it in under the marriage guide. I'll do a little on that. Maybe in January. January or February. It's important to understand. So you know what to cooperate with, what to control. When he says, I beat my body and put it under, I enslave it. Why? Or it will enslave you. That's what the body does. Eat me, eat me, eat me. Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. You must. You absolutely must. Please me. You tell it, shut up and sit down. You do not call the shots here. The Bible says you buffet it. Keep quiet. You don't treat it nicely. That's completely different from rubbing cream on it. Give me what? 1 Corinthians 9:27. You don't rub cream on it. You don't give it beauty treatment. No, I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Give me the verse before this. Therefore, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight like I'm beating the air. Okay, then verse 28. So, okay. The translation is the difference. So there's a translation that doesn't say I discipline my body. He says I strike it with blows. He brutalizes the body. He doesn't, when you say discipline body, it sounds very, yeah, you need to be disciplined. The word there means to brutalize. That's one of the advantages of fasting. One of the major advantages of fasting is a way of, it's called mourning in the Bible. You're brutalizing your body. Tell me, shut up. Keep quiet. Nothing in your body likes fasting. Nothing in your body likes anything that is not enjoyable. But if you don't do it, your body will make you its slave. Like most people on earth are. They are enslaved to their bodies. Sit down here. Watch. Watch that thing. Don't stand up. Watch it from morning till night. What about the thing they said you should do? Can't you watch it later? No, now. Now or never. Why? What do you mean by now or never? Get another one. We finish this one. Bring another one. Give me as many as possible. You have up to 20. I'll watch one after another. I'll play non-stop. I want to enjoy. Do you have another game? PS4. You have PS5. PlayStation 5. What about 7? Oh, it's not out yet. Okay. When it comes out, make sure I have it immediately. Why? Dopamine. Ow! Your body is master. Okay, leave all those PS things. You don't even understand what I'm saying. Candy Crush. Temple Run. I remember this from long ago. Years ago. That might run to the bush. Have you thought about these things? What on earth? When you would have finished reading the small book of Ruth, which you've been planning to read. Hey! You are here in Newi, running through a jungle in an ancient temple because your name is Indiana Jones. Hey! I'm explaining. So you stop thinking it's just there. It's not just there. Your enemies are Satan, the world, your fleshly nature. These are your enemies. Your enemies. These are dangerous things. These things are what we fight against. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. We wrestle the evil spiritual influences that influence us through the world and your fleshly nature that is within you that you can't be separated from. These are the enemies, not other people. When we look at James, you're going to see how we should relate with other people. The Bible tells us here that those soldiers came. What kind of people were they? Strong. Some of them were very firm looking. They were different. They looked different in different ways. Soldiers are men who show up different times. They defected to David. That means they were serving the side of Saul first. Then they crossed over. Defection is very important in the kingdom of God. I want you to note it because I'm going to make a point soon. Defection. They crossed over from Saul that they were serving as king earlier on and started to serve in David's army. For those of you that have been told that you have to be loyal, loyal. Be very careful about who you're loyal to because the house of Saul will diminish And the house of David will increase. There becomes the army of God. That's what's going to happen. You might as well know the future. The Bible tells you, jump down. Well, it says they were experts with shield and spear. Faces were like the faces of lions. And who were as swift as gazelles on the mountain. How many of you know? I don't encourage you to go around looking morose and looking strange. I always hear those people. I attack them slightly, lightly, hoping to push them out of appearing. But how many of you know that a face of a lion won't be like, oh, cute, pussycat. How many of you know a lion's face don't look like pussycat? That it's threatening. Why would these men's faces be like lions? Because they are warriors. And they run like gazelles. So they are like a mixture of animals. This is God's combination. Gazelles are very fast. They run faster than lions. So lions struggle to ever catch them. For a lion to catch a gazelle, he must creep in the grass, wait patiently. Either that gazelle is a young one, very small. But gazelles are very fast. Even when they are newly born, they start jumping. So gazelles run very fast. Understand this. Don't think lions are fast. They are fast for a human being, not for animal kingdom. Gazelles just leap. Phew! Some over the head of the lions. Yeah. They have springs in their legs. There's this one called a springbok. There's a reason. They're like that. Very fast. So how the lion succeeds is by stealth. Patience. Waiting. That's exactly what Satan does. Christians have capacity in them to overcome Satan's wiles. We do. God put it in us to overcome. However, even though it is within us, Satan conquers many times when he succeeds by waiting, patiently outwaiting us, stealthily crouching in the grass. That's how he looks for who to devour. He will either scare you with a roar, that terrifies you, or he waits for you. But God has given us capacity to be as swift as gazelles on the mountains. It's innate. These warriors of David were outstanding. They were impressive. They were effective. They had commanders, verse 14 and 15. These Gadites were army commanders, the least of whom was a match for 100. Are you seeing this? You do know I'm describing the army of God. You better understand it. They had the ability to drive away 100. And the greatest of them was a match for 1,000. The least was for 100. The greatest was for 1,000. They could confront 1,000 enemies and rout them. Verse 15. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks. And they put to flight all those in the valleys, both to the east and to the west. When it was overflowing its banks, that it should be uncrossable, you should drown. They crossed. These people didn't know impossible. They didn't know what it meant. These Gadites refused to be intimidated. All right? Verse 16 tells you, Benjaminites and some men from Judah also came to David in his stronghold. Now, I want you to see something. From there till verse 18. Verse 18. And David went out to meet these Benjaminites. Are you hearing this? And some men from Judah. He said, if you have come to meet me in peace to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, when my hands are free of violence, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you. We are going to pray this prayer. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Today we'll pray before we go. Nothing. Listen to me, God's Lighthouse, wherever you are. Don't come and join us if you've come to hand us over to our enemies. If you've come to trip us up. If you've come to make us fall. If you've come to push us down. Dare not. If you have come to help us win the enemies of our God. Good. If you have come to drag us down into the bowels of the enemy's dungeons. And our hands are free of violence. You know something about someone who has not done violence to another? If you have not done evil to someone, they should not do evil to you. If you've done good to someone, they especially should not do evil to you. Why? The Bible says if you return evil for good, He said, evil will not depart from your house. It's the worst thing on earth. Now, if someone did you evil, you do them evil. Well, you shouldn't as a Christian, but it's just that. You have said, vengeance is mine. While hitting your chest, I will repay. That's sad, but it's a thing. However, if on the other hand, you have done good, you have not done evil, and the person does evil, it is not right. And as we fight the battles of the king, David did it here. Now, you saw him, he received other soldiers. He didn't ask them that. But once in a while, they can be an alarm. And he had to ask them, I hope you're not coming to hand me over. I hope you have not come to destroy me. I hope you have, why? And he gave his reason. He didn't just say it. He said, if my hands are free of violence, I have not done harm to Saul. Why Saul is hunting me, I don't know. I have not done evil to Saul. Oh. It's different if I've done him evil. I have not. So if you guys came to where I am and said, oh, we want to join you and you're planning to arrest me, put chains on me and say, Saul, we caught him for you. We are going to ask God, if any such person ever comes to our midst, as we go out to fight the battles of the Lord, that God will judge between, because the God of our father sees it. He sees the hearts of men. And if the devil ever tempts you, run. There's someone that did this. We talked about him yesterday. His name was Judas, yes? Judas Ahithophel 2 days ago. Instead of leaving, they stayed. Their heart was not good. You know when David left the capital, Ahithophel should have gone home. He stayed to give evil advice. It killed him. You know when Jesus was about to die, Judas should have just left. After he collected the money, you know he could have gone from there. Instead, he took them straight to where Jesus... He ignored... These scriptures existed before Judas betrayed Jesus. He's like, that's their own. And came and handed... Jesus did not say, let's pray for your brother that is going to betray me. Let's ask for mercy. He didn't pray that prayer. He said, it's better the person was not born. And Judas took his brother or his master and handed over. And what happened? By Acts chapter 1, they said his bishopric let another take. Yes? And another was put in his place. He did what? He abandoned his calling. Yes? Yes? That's why I said don't let your phone be your traitor. Don't let this take away your calling. You see how many times I've said it? I hope you know I don't speak without purpose. Yes, sir. If you like, wait for, oh, if it's true, I'll shake and prophesy. Ah! Hey, I see you, I see you. Hey! I'm too hungry to do that. I've warned you, never hand over an innocent person. Don't go and listen to what an innocent person says. Take it and go and tell an evil person and give them ammunition to destroy or attack an innocent person. It's a very dangerous thing. Judas did it. Ahithophel did it. It didn't end well with any of them. Hear and fear. Don't hear and say, oh dear. Hear and fear. Hear and fear. Soldiers. Soldiers are seen by God. Verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, the chief of the 30, and he said, so he began to prophesy, we are yours, O David, we are with you, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So prophetic ministry showed up and calmed David. So David received them and made them leaders of his troops. These are people that were potential. It's important to pray as you are fighting the battles of the Lord. Hear me. You might not see how you need this. You will need it later. When you have assignments from God, you can't just casually jump up and say, okay, I want some leaders. And this guy, this one looks, he's tall. He has broad shoulder. He looks like that. You, see me after the meeting. You can't pick leaders like that. You know, you're going to have to come to the Lord. Don't judge with your eyes, like Samuel the prophet almost did. You must judge with your ears. You must hear God and then follow his instructions. That's how we've always picked leaders in this house. before we leave here today, we'll pray for another leader that will be joining the core leadership. And so you hear the Lord and you act on what the Lord says. He received them and made them leaders. The condition is that they don't come to destroy. They come to build. They come to join forces. Is this obvious? Verse 19. Some from Manasseh. Have you seen Gadites, Manassehites, Benjaminites, Judah? Have you seen all sorts? These ones are from Manasseh. They defected to David when he went to the Philistines to fight against Saul. All right, next verse. A list of names. When David went to Ziklag, this is when there was, this is the battle that killed Saul. During that battle, when they were about to go to that battle, a contingent of men from Manasseh didn't follow King Saul to the battle. They went to David. Do you remember when he came to Ziklag and they had taken his wives and children, all his men? That's when these people joined him. That's when. They moved over and said, David, we'll fight with you. The Bible tells you in verse 21, we read 21, 22. It tells you they helped David against the raiders, for they were almighty men of valor and commanders in the army. They helped David against the raiders. Who are the raiders? Those are Amalekites. Do you remember them? So do you remember the men that went after? Remember some stayed behind with the baggage? These ones went. Mighty men of valor. They proved themselves. When you show up and you say, I want to be in the army of the Lord, you better prove yourself. There's too much talk, empty talk. No, me too, I'm a soldier. Which battles have you fought? What have you joined to accomplish? What have you gone after? What risk did you take? Have you put your life in danger at all for Jesus in any way? And by life, I mean just your comfort, just your satisfaction, just your desires. Do you do that? If you don't, you are not a soldier. You may be a citizen of God's kingdom, but you are not a soldier. Soldiers take risk. Soldiers lead others. Soldiers train. Soldiers prepare themselves. Soldiers learn to use the weapons of warfare. Soldiers keep company with other soldiers. Soldiers don't live scattered around town, one by themselves. No, they live in barracks with other soldiers. That's how a soldier stays in shape and can be an effective soldier. Is this clear? We end with verse 22. Then we jump back to Numbers 31. For at that time, men came to David day after day to help him. Read. Until he had a great army, like the army of God. Did you see how the army of God was built here? Day by day. As new people come and join up with the true forces of those advancing the kingdom of God. This is how. David did not lead a rebellion or a coup d'etat. He didn't go and overthrow Saul. I suspect he could have. He didn't do that. You don't go around looking for who to attack so that their members will come to you. You don't go around looking for what to say and do. No, you just spread the truth. You just stand for righteousness. You just fear God. You just do what God tells you to do. And God will bring people from everywhere. Now, Numbers 31. What happens when God brings these people? What happens when they go to fight? Verse 19. They may kill a person or touch the dead. That's the natural outcome of war. Now, remember, in this time, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. So you're not killing a physical person. No. What's happening is that you brought down a spiritual entity. How do you do it? When you preach the truth to someone, when you pull the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you stab, in the process, things come from people. People talk back. People say things. People curse you. I know people have cursed me. I don't feel it, but I know. I know for many years, people would see a force field around me like that. Sometimes it's plastic. Sometimes it's rubbery. Arrows hit it and bounce. People curse, all sorts. Parents curse, pastors curse. You know, they ask, why did their children come to this church? Why did they leave our church and come here? Why? So they curse, they say things, they say things. Now, I've done violence against nobody. People spread lies, people say things. Someone said it again the other day, that we are cults. They've said it. That lie has been spread primarily by some individual who took it upon. Whatever. Just, that's warfare. That's it. You say something, it's a lie. Why are you saying it? On what basis did you say that? It's a work of the enemy. It's a spirit of slander, malicious slander. It's a spirit. It's a demon spirit directly. It's not the person. It's the spirit behind the person. It's the Soline spirit. It's the same thing. Sending attacks. Why? To accomplish the will of the enemy. Because of what is going to happen with David. Because of the future. It's an attempt. Everybody hear and understand, so that when you suffer persecution, you don't get discouraged. It's a very simple strategy. Stop them. Stop David from ever getting to the throne. Yes? Do anything that will intimidate him, make him afraid, make him hide away. Stop him from advancing the kingdom. Come against them so they cannot spread the gospel, so they will not preach, so they will not capture more people for the kingdom of light. So attack them. Attack, attack, attack. Don't stop. Attack. You have not attacked recently. Attack again. Attack. I heard about someone standing in front of a class of brand new students and telling them you can go to any church except God's Lighthouse. Things like that, like an assignment for years. What's that? That's that spirit. What is it supposed to do to you? So if you want to go and preach to those people, you go like, no, don't preach to those ones, you know. So instead of going, pursuing, overtaking and recovering all, bringing people to the Lord, you don't. You avoid, you refuse to go to war in this area because the enemy has roared. And you allow fear coming to you. But if you have the Davidic company, you do the exact opposite. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Now I know again, the work of Satan is bad. I mean, we had someone slandering us, saying that when you leave this church, they beat you. So someone goes to preach and someone says, are you from such and so church? You people are the ones that beat people. Please leave, 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 leave. See, that's like a success. That's a win for the enemy. That they refuse to listen to the gospel you went to preach because of that lie. Like what? Eh? They beat and he said, no, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. Another person went somewhere else to preach, just like we normally would go for evangelism. And he said the same thing. Say, are you people, though? I hear you people beat people when they leave your church. I spoke to the character the other day. I said, you did, the person didn't say anything, just said nothing. I spoke after 1 year now. It's a long time. I wasn't asking a question. I was just saying, you did this. He said, I didn't do any, but again, that was a chance to repent. You do not go to war against flesh. It's a spiritual entity. How do you fight it? Don't sheath your sword. Pull it out. Bring the word of the Lord. Tell the truth. Don't allow anything or anyone intimidate you. Are you hearing me? In the process, listen, of this fighting against lies, against falsehood, against dead bodies. What's a dead body? A body, an organization that you are part of that is dead, doesn't give life, doesn't breathe, doesn't impart life, doesn't carry you. It's a dead thing, it's an idol, it's something. In the process of doing the work of God, advancing the kingdom, you will touch dead bodies. It will defile you. On the third and seventh day, you have to purify both yourself and your captives. The response to defilement is purification. Are you hearing me? I'm bringing everything to a close in a hurry. Purification is what you do after battles. Now, why did I take you to show you the soldiers? I want you to understand that those soldiers fought on many fronts. Soldiers don't fight in one fixed place. When I'm standing here preaching, I'm fighting for your souls. I'm hacking away at lies and falsehood as I bring the word of truth. But when you go out to your office doing whatever God has helped you to do, you have a business, you're making clothes, What are you fighting for? Let me show you again. You are fighting for provision for a righteous man or woman, which is you. Yes? Yes?
Yes,
you're fighting lack by working hard. And from there, you feed your children, whom we hope you raise in the ways of the Lord. Yes?
Yes,
so you're fighting anything that will stop the raising of a new batch of soldiers. Yes?
Yes,
good. And you're training them. So that money you're earning. But hopefully, you are obeying Ephesians 4. And you're earning enough, not just to meet your needs, but the needs of others that I need. Yes?
Yes.
Not to stockpile non-stop. But you get enough, and you're supporting the temple workers. You're supporting other soldiers. You're supporting... Do you understand this? So, going to work, what you call a job, is warfare. Anything you do, provided it's not illegal or unrighteous, is warfare. Why? How do we need warfare? Because you can't do any of it successfully in this war without a struggle. It doesn't flow to you like that. It's a struggle. There's pushback. That's how you need a battle. Was it pushback? Was it hard? Did you lose money? Did you almost lose money? Did fire almost burn the compound? Did this? Did that? Did someone come and steal out of what you're working for? Did the prices go up and you lost money? Did this happen? Did anything that creates agitation and conflict is warfare. You don't need to be a pastor to be at war. All you need to be is alive. The more responsibilities you have, the more warfare there is. Every opposition you have. So that those people who tell lies against us, that's warfare. What do we do? Do we turn and run? No, we stand and tell the truth and say, you lie. That is not the truth. Bring your proof. What you just said, why did you say it? Are you a child of God? Why did you say that? Do you know you give account to Jesus for what you just said? Are you supposed to judge a person without hearing them? How did you arrive at that? Standing for the truth is warfare. Sharing the truth of God's word is warfare. Just the truth of what happened in your room between those two people that are quarreling. Just telling the truth is warfare. These three people, because they are many and they are the trending people. This one is a swamp. They are trying to oppress this one. And they ask for your involvement or your input. You tell the truth. No, it's not right. He fetches the water. Most of the time, it's not correct for him to be taking his water and drinking. I've never seen you fetch. I've seen him fetch not less than 20 times. You tell the truth. You don't stand and say, well, it's okay. Now anybody can share what they have. You coward. You're not a soldier. You're a small girl below 6. Go home to your mommy. Soldiers fight. You'll be opposed. So what? You will not die. And even if you do, you died righteously. Is this clear? You are supposed to stand for what is right. God tells you do something, gives you a responsibility. When you try to do it, you face opposition. Who has said that every time I want to do something good? Sleep says, long time no see. How many of you, when you're going to do useless things, sleep stands aside, sits on that side, and says, what do you think? That is warfare. Brother and sister, know your situation. We are in war. Those things result in are touching dead bodies. Is it not that time you're trying to fight small things? I say, I just said, let me just take my phone and just say Facebook. From that time you said Facebook, the time was one. It's time for church. Yay, yay. Ask you, yes, have you submitted the thing you're doing? I'm still working on it. Some of you, that's your default. It's almost like your name. I'm still working on it. I'm working on it. It's in the process. When you know it sounds somehow from saying the same thing, so you vary it. Say it's in process. And then you add a nod, an active nod that goes like, don't worry. Others say, you get it. The dead bodies of this war have touched you. Are you understanding? When you go into conflicts, you will be defiled. I didn't even go into talk about casting out demons. You will be defiled as you're praying for people everywhere, fighting for people. All that is warfare. Something comes on you. It is what it is. The life is in the blood. That thing on them, the life of all the, it sprinkles. There are sprinkles of it. And the primary way people get diseases of any kind is through contact. It's contagious. If that person had something contagious, it passes to you. When it passes to you, you will become sick too. We've heard people share testimonies. We've heard our brother share testimony. Different people here. How many of you, let me just ask, you prayed for someone, you this and that. Later, the thing you prayed against, demons, all that, you start feeling it, start worrying you. Raise your hand, wave it. You see all that? This is exactly, so you see, it's not unique to you. It is warfare. Now, God put a procedure in place to take care of you. Say the law. He told us, but what do we do? No! Oh, nothing can touch you, just head out. Under your feet, you beat me. Hey, God. Ignorantia legem. Excuse that name. Yeah. Sorry, I resorted to Latin. Your ignorance of the law will provide no excuse for you. You're going to still be in trouble. You're going to enter. You will not be happy. You will suffer. You'll be wondering. After that successful outreach battle, after that business went well, but how come it seems these days I'm always thinking about money? How come it seems since you seem to succeed in that business venture around December, but it's like a spirit of greed. Whoever struggled, now this is God's house. So many people here have renounced greed for years. How many of you have felt it come back at different times? And you have to be like, what's this? It's like, this has happened to you. The thing is real, though. You start checking account balance. Intermittently, look at it. Then it's like a feeling of calmness. Then you check it. You that before used to just thank God that there's 1K inside. And God provided food. You don't know how. But now it seems as though as you're winning the battle, the more you... So what has happened is as you have conquered it and you walked away... The blood of the dead body has sprinkled on you. The diseases they had. For as you've been fighting battles, saying to people, say after me, I renounce greed. You fought for the king, but you have ignored something the king told you to do when you come back. He said, when you come back, remain outside the camp for 7 days. Don't just go back to your normal life. The camp is your people. We don't mean you should physically, you don't physically stay outside. It means you don't just return. What happens in the camp? Normal life. The camp is the tents of the people of Israel. When they were going through the wilderness. The camp is normal, is your day-to-day life. Don't return to your normal life yet. You must pause and purify. Next verse. You pause and purify. And purify, verse 20, every garment and leather good, everything made of goat's hair, and every article of wood. Why? Because these are the things that those things can permeate and sit in and be transmitted. So you check the paraphernalia of your life. It's a deliberateness. Oh yeah, let me do my work because this is the job of the priest to purify. Then Eleazar, the priest, said to the soldiers who had gone into battle, this is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded Moses. Only the gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, and lead, everything that can withstand the fire must be put through the fire and it will be clean. So there are things you put through the fire. Why? How many of you know what that is? Chemistry. Those who read what? When you're putting something through heat, it's not one course. Yes, you are doing what in your language? I'm not hearing you. You are sterilizing with heat. That's what you call it, sterilization. You're using heat to kill any pathogen that may have attached to that thing. That's all. It's a very simple principle. So purification is for the process of destroying any harmful things you have picked up in the course of your life as a child of God, fighting the battles of your king. Is this clear? That's what purification is. If you're going to hear this commonly now in this house, much more, you're going to hear, oh, you need to purify. Have you purified? Understand it. It's a period where you subject the things that can undergo heat, under heat, but there are things that cannot undergo heat. After you put it through the heat, it must be purified with the water of purification. Who knows what the water of purification will? Can you remember? You remember the red heifer? Do you remember? Do you remember the red heifer 3 years old? Do you remember mixed with water? Do you remember that whole process where there's a sprinkling? Good. Whatever that represented is what you are to do. So don't think anybody says, go and come up with any solution you like and say, well, is this how to purify? Mm-mm. It's the same process for being proven leprosy free. Is that okay? Yes. And the Lord would want us to rid ourselves of anything. I'm trying to get to numbers 31. Anything at all that makes us filthy in any way. When we yield to the process, we become made clean. Go and read Numbers chapter 19. Verse 1 says, I will not read it. Just write the book of Numbers chapter 19. Those are the laws of purification. Verse 1 to 10 tells you about the red heifer. Let me just show you a little that you need to know. Oh God, let's do fast reading. This is a statute of the Lord that the Lord has commanded. Instruct the Israelites to bring you an unblemished red heifer that has no defect and has never been placed under a yoke. Let me just tell you who the red heifer is. It represents Jesus Christ, okay? It's not just any cow. It's one that is red. It has a color. It's the blood. It speaks of the walking of the blood. All right? Give it to Eleazar, the priest, and he will have it brought outside the camp. Do you remember Jesus was crucified outside the camp? Was taken outside and slaughtered in his presence. Was the high priest there? Were the priests there? Were they there? Good. They were there when Jesus died. Now, Eleazar the priest is to take some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it 7 times towards the front of the tent of meeting. What's the tent of meeting? Say the church, the temple, the church, the people of God. 7 times. Foo, 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 foo. Okay, so this is in the tabernacle. It's the people of God. The blood comes towards you 7 times. And it's a picture of perfect cleansing. 7 is a number of perfection. It's the blood of the animal. This is not the cow. This is not the sheep or the goat of this thing. Why? Because all of this testifies of Jesus. Remember, search the scriptures. It is it that testifies of me. It's speaking about the work of Jesus from another angle, as usual. Then the heifer must be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, and its blood are to be burned along with its dung. Do you remember eat the lamb? All of it. Do you remember all of it? Every aspect of Jesus, all, there's none that you reject or push aside. The priest is to take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wool and throw them onto the burning heifer. All of that is speaking of the dealings and the workings of God in our life. Remember the hyssop that was taken and put in the blood and applied on the door in Egypt? When I see the blood of Passover, you have that whole picture in here too. Next. Then the priest must wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. After that, he may enter the camp. But he will be ceremonially unclean until evening. I want you to note, I jotted that. I don't know if you have time. So many things from the word of God. The law of God is astonishing. You know, God help us. When we end these meetings, I'll continue. Now, just keep tuning in, wherever you are. I'll have to. There's so much. The Bible tells you the priest is clean by evening. He didn't touch a dead body of a human. He touched the body of the Lord. Is this okay? It's a living body. Are you hearing me? But he will be unclean till evening. He has touched things, including dung. He has touched all sorts of things. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything. He needs to clean up himself. But it's short. He was doing what his God said. Even going to war is what your God says. But there are the rules for different duties. As you're handling the body of Christ, handling the people of God, handling the things of the people of God, there's a limitation. The people that need the most purification are those that go out from the midst of God's people to fight battle. Are you hearing me? Hear me and hear me well. These are principles I want embedded in all your lives. Remember, this is apostolic education. You must learn how to go out and to come in. I'm showing you how to come in. Stop coming in unpurified. This is why people go for events. They come out. You wonder, wait, you just travel home for 1 month. What's this? Now, instead of going home to be a warrior, to fight the battles of God, you went and were conquered. Some even tell us how, no, when I went, it was, so what happened since you came back? You've been defiled. You ought to be purified. I am not the one coming up with this. You're reading it in the word of God. You must learn Have it as a habit. I think this is one of the beauties of spending time in God's face. Even as an individual, having times when you fast and pray and you're just with the Lord. Undergo a process. Undergo the process of being washed. Of washing that which covers you. Your covering. Of purifying it. Distinguishing it. The one who born the high farm must also wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. And he too will be ceremonially unclean until evening. Then a man who is ceremonially clean is to gather up the ashes of the Haifa. Remember, they burnt everything. He gathers those ashes. The blood was burnt. Dung, burnt. Everything. Offers inside. Burnt. Everything that was burnt is in there. So, it's not the one who got defiled that packs it. Why? Because there's another duty to be done here. Are you hearing me? There's the duty of preparing that thing. Then there's the duty of dispensing what was acquired. It's the ashes. The result of the work of Christ in the life of the church. The result, you have to collect all the combined understanding, revelation, wisdom, ability, anointing, power, impartation in the form of ashes. Store in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, let us go to him outside the camp. This is you living your normal setting. Do you remember? You stay outside the camp. Your normal life. When I see people who refuse to live their normal life, I know they are gone. I've wept. I've seen people do it in this house. Now I'm explaining more than I've ever explained on this particular point. But you see, it takes time. There's no time we are together and I'm preaching that I don't say a lot. All these years, you see, we've barely scratched. But I'm saying one of the ways I've known for years that people, and I've told you, you see them unwilling to come aside for purification. You see them unwilling. There's this resistance. Nothing they do surprises me. Nothing. What do you think? You're not going to disregard the laws of war. You may have been in the process of acquiring a degree. It doesn't matter. If it was warfare in the advancement of God's intention for your life, there will be war. It's not simple. It's a big deal. You're the one that takes it like small. Do you remember Jesus on the night of his death when he was washing the feet of everyone? You can't remember? John 13, he tried to wash their feet. He said, I am not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying you're not clean. I'm saying that your feet need to be washed. One oversabi person said, you can never wash my feet. What kind of humbling? No, now. I'm older, all this young. Why do you think the other ones, when Jesus said, and they stuck out their feet. I told you they were teenagers. They didn't have any sense more than that. Peter is the one that, No, sir. Now, if you've seen older people, they are much more stubborn. They are harder to, if they insist on doing something, I'll give you. He said, no, let me drop you. A young person said, okay. In fact, a young person said, are you going this side? Another person said, no, don't worry. No, don't worry. No, an older person tends to be more resist. They can be more firm in resisting something or insisting on something. They can want to give you something. And it's like, no, don't worry. Say, no, you have to have something. An older person will insist more. And that's what happened here. Peter said, never shall you wash my feet. Let me say, you and Jesus now, and I thought they rubbed shoulder. Jesus answered him with the same measure. Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Immediately, then Lord, not only my feet, my hands, my head, battery. Lord, bath me, bath. See, you understand why he reacted like that? That's a threat. Now, sorry, you do understand that Jesus may have finished washing everybody's feet before they got to him. That it took a long time for him to generate that stubbornness and keep. And was sitting there and despised him, maybe telling them, don't allow him wash your feet. Don't allow him. Using his head. But look at the speed with which he asked for a bath. The threat was commensurate. Actually, I don't think you're a part of me at all. Bring that membership book. Remove his name. No. It was so violent, a statement, that he asked for a bath. So this too is the process of purification. He said, if you have had a bath already, you only need to wash your feet. Are you hearing? The act of purification is not an act of making you a child of God. It's an act of restoring you to the status of a child of God. Are you understanding? That's what the act of purification is. It restores you to your status quo, the state you were in before you went out to war. Are you hearing me? Is this clear? The state you were in before you went out to war, that is a condition of existence. You must maintain that condition as often as possible. So we often tell our people, when you go out, you've been out. When you come back, join every meeting. Who has heard this over the years? Join every meeting. Some people, you're still ridiculous. You go out where you've been 1 year, 2 years. You come out, you immediately act like you're something. That's why you're always dirty. Next thing, you act like you don't understand what is happening to you. You don't need to understand it the way I do. You can just understand it. Are you obeying your pastor? Answer is no. What do you think? What do you think the job of a priest is? My job is to read and understand the law of God and break it down to your understanding. And I may not have time to read you Numbers 19 in detail, like I am doing today. But I may have had enough time to just tell you, when you come back many years ago from wherever, be in the meetings. Extra, don't go roaming around. That was enough. I told you what to do. If you sat down and asked me why, all the time I said, if I have questions asked, I could have answered you. Maybe. But before you understand, you were to obey. And you are wiser. You came back. You see some people, they say they came back from somewhere. Then they say, I'm passing home. I'm passing here. I'm passing there. I know you are going to be a health risk. I know. Because that thing you carried from the battlefront, what do you think is going to happen? You think it won't smell? Is it not? Why do you think they kept you outside the camp? From normal life. So you won't smell others. Before you spread a contagion that you picked up from the battle with the Amalekites. Next thing you come, sit next to, oh, hello, this and that. Next thing you're being, guy. Say, you guys, do you know this? You haven't heard of this guy? No, the guy is the bomb. The guy is the bomb. I have his thing now. Let me forward it to you. This guy is cool. This guy is cool. Just like pastor. Even though his own is well, you know, well. No, throughout where I was there, I was soaking. You watch one, you're like, eh? Are you sure? Did I say yes now? You know, even pastor said, you're spreading your contagion. No, you people, you don't understand. You people always carry things to extreme. You think that, these are real things that happen to people everywhere. It has happened in here. It happens. Meanwhile, that's one poisonous poison like this. We've had people, and some, at least, thank God they were obedient. Ah, sir, I heard this preacher. They sound just like us. They talked about the three dimensions of I'm so excited. Okay, God bless you. But I didn't get as excited as him. Just check them. Just take your time. Check it out. He went again. They pray. Okay. Wait, calm down. At least he's reporting back. 1, 2, 3. Bah, we are above the scripture. No. The scripture, the gospel age was the former age. From the year 2000, we entered the next dimension. No, we are beyond the apostles. We are above them. What do you say their name is again? Jesus' disciples. Is that not the thing someone used to be part of long, long ago? That group, what do you say was wrong with it again? The group you say you were in before you joined. That's what Baltimore has gone is. I didn't say much. This is years ago. Now I could be more blunt. Those days, I'll just say, look at, so what do you think? He says, I don't think. He said, I even asked him, are you say, officially? So the group says, if you are not part of them, you're not born again. There's no need. Which is the number one sign of a cult? That is, there's no discussion. The moment someone says, if you're not part of us, we are the only chosen one on earth. So he asked them, what about before? When did you say you started? They say, year 2000. Where are you people now? Say, we are in one or two African countries. Then there's a group in what? Okay, and nobody is born again or saved if they are not part of you. Yes. So everybody before the year 2000. Now, so it's not hard. That's crazy, sir. That's crazy. Wait, you mean since Jesus? In fact, what are you even saying? They are above the scriptures. That is, you can't use the scriptures to judge someone or judge anything because they are above it. It's over. So on his own, he saw. I said, and he stopped going. But they seem so passionate, 10 times more on fire. They seem to have insight. And I've always told you, it's why you don't pick a truth and act like it's the only thing that exists. God has so much. A mighty feast in his house. You must eat the different aspects of the Lord. You cannot pick the sweet and nice smelling part only. Are you understanding? What purifies you is a combo of everything that the Lord brings. Are you hearing? Yes, now, when they burnt it or put it through the fire, and then they keep it outside the camp by the congregation of Israel for preparing the water of purification. This is for purification from sin. So what is it you have come in contact with that needs to be washed off? Sin. What sin? You found yourself, as you're hanging around those people, you found yourself using dirty words. Your mouth will now say a dirty word. You're like, what's this? After you were in that place for a while, lust seemed as though they put a cloak of lust around you. It wasn't like that when you were here in camp before. Then you went out. What has this happened to? Where? You're like, what's happening? Brother, it's the war. Sister, it's the battle. Are you understand? Take encouragement in understanding that God knew this would happen. So he made provision. You know what the devil does to you? He tells you things like, you see, you're not a Christian. Some of you get so torn up. Ah, I love the Lord. The things God helped me in this life. Learn how to go out and come in. You must sit in the face of God. The most powerful way I know is sit in the word of God. His word, it's called what? Ephesians 6. The washing of the, Ephesians 5. The washing of the water by the word. As you sit under the word. God knew I didn't have what you guys have here. So I had the Bible. That routine sitting. Routine sitting under the scriptures in a room. Apart from anything that I enjoyed in church. That the churches have always been a blessing. But sitting down myself with the Lord, seeking his face, there's a pouring out of light. There's a pouring out of grace. There's a pouring out of hope. There's a pouring out of mercy and restoration. You're praying for people. You're thinking, you're casting demons out of something. Lust is coming on you there. All these things we've talked about over the years. Don't sit there and beat yourself. You're evil. No. You are being smeared by the battle. It's splashing on you because you are at war. Don't stop. Don't give Satan joy. Go. Is it not to go back and bat? Priest, I've come back. All these yucky thoughts, you know, I was, so please, can you recommend my process? Oh, yes. So for the next 2 days, I want you to study the book of John, 1 John chapter 1 to 5, with a dose of Peter, 2 Peter. Just sit under that, take notes. I want to see it after 3 days. Third day, 7 days. Now, it doesn't have to be 3 days and 7 days, literally. It's just telling you that it's a period. But that might be good to spend up to 3 days. They presented themselves twice while they did it. 3 and then 7th. Who knows what that is? Do you remember when he says stay 7 days, leprosy, stay out 7 days, come into the camp, stay 7 days, but outside your house? Okay, so these are the protocols. So a 3 day, do you remember when the Lord God was coming and he said, tell your people, I'm coming 3 days. Let them wash their garments and be ready, purified. Good. So, 3 days, literally, 3 literal days is a good amount of time to detox spiritually. Are you hearing me? Maybe that's how some people came up with 3 days fasting a lot, okay? Yeah, but sometimes it's okay. In fact, it's good to fast, but don't do. So let me help you. You don't have to fight. Nobody said as they're waiting outside, they were not eating. Are you hearing me? No, the important thing is that you're waiting. Those who wait on the Lord renew strength. So if you will wait, fasting can help you wait on the Lord. But I want you to know that some of God's people do not get purified because they say, I have to wait till a time when I can fast. Has this happened to anybody here? You're planning a fast. And because you're planning a fast, you can't find a convenient time. Therefore, you keep postponing your purification process. Receive liberty.
Amen.
Eat your food and wait on the Lord. Are you hearing me? You can eat twice a day. You can eat thrice a day for all I care. You can eat once. You can do whatever you like. Don't eat too much. The important thing is that cut away from distractions and be with the King. Let those around you know, please, I'll be waiting on the Lord. You can buy a loaf of bread and keep and eat that gradually. But do you understand? Don't say, oh, I'm so hungry, I would have waited on the Lord. No, don't be hungry. Get some milk, get something. Have it there, have the bread, have whatever that, provided it doesn't make you have to keep strolling out to the restaurant too much. The important thing is you need quiet, silence, separation from activity. If you would do this as a norm, child of God, you'll be fine. Most of the time, you'll just be fine. When things come, you will overcome them. Your heart, after this season, I know it. You know, I'm feeling a gladness in my soul that many of you that have, you've struggled with these things, it's going to stop. It's going to stop. Some of you are suffering from accumulated non-purification. Long periods of different battles, no purification. The thing has tampered with you. You're miserable and sad. And you think God or the devil won. He didn't win. It's you. Your ignorance. Your ignorance. It's purification from sin because the sprinkling of other people's sins come on you. Have you not read that? Don't lay hands on any man suddenly, lest you be partaker of his sins. Can you understand that now? Yes, in the battle for people, I rebuke you, spirit of this. Lord, bless this one, this and that. You may collect. You're collecting all sorts of things. So you must pause. This again is what has happened to many servants of God. It's why sometimes you think God should be so angry at some of his servants. And he's not angry the way you think. Why? He knows how they got into the condition. They went to fight his battles. Are you understanding? They went to fight his battles, but they don't have priests. They don't have teaching priests. They don't have those who understand. They don't have those who tell them, come, pass through me before you go back to normal. You travel, you did all that, then next thing you're in church on Sunday, bam, praise the Lord. Ah, stories of exploits. My God, my God. When did that guy detox? Oh, there's a lineup of people to see you, sir. Yes, not less than. You know, accumulated over the last month. 92 people. Okay, I'll see 10 a day. Next thing is sitting there and looking at you. Same pastor. You're really pretty. You're really pretty. How is your mom? This is rubbing your hand. You're even wondering. Is, and he said, oh, yeah, why are you acting like you're shy? You know where I came from? You know, we are too stiff in this church. We are too stiff. As I was traveling, every church I went to, my God, they're so welcoming. So people are always so stiff in this church. I need to change your thinking. Come on, come here, give me a hug. Stay in it. Ah, thank you, Lord, for my sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bros, pastor, sir, where do you say he went to a ministry? You have to ex that church and not visit it. I'm serious. You see things. I was in a church once. They were so huggy. It was too much. I was alarmed. No. The hugs were too involved. All over. Well, how many of you have gone for youth service? How many of you, sisters, you felt harassed? The hugging rate, how many of you, the hugging rate in where you served was income. You had to become a porcupine. Oh no, many of our sisters have told us that. How they went, mostly in the West. It's all in the name of, and all those are church people, not unbelievers, in the name of, oh, we are brothers, we are saved. And some would completely ignore them. They say, no, they say, that's your business. They'll grab them, pick them up, do all sorts of things. They learned that from church. Someone taught them that. Those are the things that defile. They'll tell you, say, I love you, say, I love. They will insist. How many of you? All this in our church. They call it liberty. They call it freedom. Why is it only our sisters they are raising hands, not the brothers? Because nobody has their time. Nobody hugs them. What does that tell you? Is that not the evidence you need? Why didn't they hug the brothers up and down? Because it's the brothers looking for current to tap. One teacher in secondary school said that. He corrupted me. Said they're tapping current. Are you hearing this? Why is it every time I just said it, not less than 8, 9, 10 sisters have raised their hands in this hall and there are others in other halls. I don't know how many have raised there. Why is it so? Why is it not the brothers? Because it's not sincere. It's not loving hugs. It's lustful hugs. Yes, that's what it is. And they learned it in church. And their pastors taught them. Hear me, I am telling you, Side hug, godly hugs. Even if you got carried away because you have not seen him for so long, keep it brief and sharp and move on. Dare not do it. Stop looking for excuses to fall into immorality. And then you say, I don't even know. I've been finding my mind. You're lucky you're still finding it. Because actually, you've been looking for your mind. You don't know where it is again. Are you understanding how the corruption comes in?
Yes, sir.
You pick it up from the battlefronts, the places where you had conflicts about what you believe, the places, listen, that tested your belief systems, the places you were that challenged what you have been taught. That is warfare. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You went anywhere and things were challenging. These things you believe, is it true? Is it right? Did your pastor teach you well? This, that. Everything that clashed and pushed you in the process, you can pick dust. That's where you go and see someone reading a book and they say, no, it's really good. You pick it and read. For the next 4 years, we are trying to uproot out of your brain. Many of you, you don't know, I know. You forget I have the Holy Ghost. And amongst the powers of the Word of God, which is living and powerful, is that it knows the secrets of the heart. You don't understand how that works. Someone said they believe it now to read my. Do you know? Do you don't know what's happening? Have I preached your thoughts many times?
Yes.
What do you think happens? The Bible says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It opens up between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. For all things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So that's what happens. When the pure word of God is coming, it's going to be opening up the secrets of your heart. That's how it works. That's one of the signs that it's the pure word of God present. Not the Bible written. The living sword is present. You're not understanding. When the words of God come under an anointing that is true, right there, it's going to start peeling open secrets of the heart. It's how you know, is this person carrying a true word? He won't just give 5-10 words of knowledge. Sister, brother, are you there? That, as the word, just the scripture is coming. It's constantly, that's why you think a question and I answer it. That's what the living sword does. Not the written word. The living word of God. It's present. Remember, it's living. You are living, right?
Yes.
So you are alive. You're breathing and talking. It's talking to you. It's the living word. It's not ancient prophecy ever true. No. It's like having a conversation. So as you talk, you know, you think, and then it goes below the layers. Even your thinking. So the Bible tells you, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said. And that's how it works. And I'm saying some of you, Forget this. Some of you have never told me your argument, but I heard it loud and clear. You read what you read. I'm looking at you, and I'm knowing. Some, I almost know the book you read. And you're there, instead of coming up plainly and saying, let me help you, let me help some of you, just come up plainly and say, Pastor, there's this book I read. It seems to disagree with you on 1, 2, 3. What do you say? It'll be way faster and way shorter. Then I can bombard you, blitzkrieg you with scripture, boom, boom, boom. When we finish, when we find you under it, at least we can rinse you and you continue your journey. But instead, you're standing at a distance and like, well, you're trying to be careful. You don't want to. You should have just been open since, the way I am open. Should have been open. And said, there's this thing I read. Well, I don't want to seem as though I'm contradicting you, Shao. But me, Shao, inside my mind, inside, under there. Me, I think, some of you, after a while, you whisper it to someone you can't control. That is even better. Then we can help you. Some people never whisper it. They keep it secret. Inside their mind. They keep it inside their heart. They never say it. And just sit there. And that thing sits down there. And blocks multiple incursions of the word of God. It sits there and blocks. How do I know what I'm saying? Because I watch you and I'm wondering why the rain that pours on others doesn't seem to... why your land is still dry. Why on earth is your land dry? How can there be so much rain and you are this fruitless? Oh, I'm telling you how I know things. I've told you there are many ways to know things. How can you be fruitless? Don't give me any long nonsense explanation. The rain does not touch your soil. Why? You have layers of canopies over the ground. That's all. How did you form it? You read nonsense. You're hearing me. You're hearing nonsense. You're combining us. We don't mix. You have layers of canopies when the truth comes, instead of it hitting your ground. And some, it takes you 2, 3, 4 years before you finally say, oh, that's for even the humble. You should have been 100 times more humble. You'd have overcome that issue. From the time you read it, that same day you read it too, you should have taken a picture, sent a message saying to your shepherd. And if they didn't satisfy you, sent it to me and said, what does this place mean? Because it seemed, and then most times, of course, depending on if I could answer you immediately or later, I'll tell you, have you read? Go and read. When you read it, then I'll tell you, read it there and get back to me. If you're lazy and you're just looking for what to do, you not go and read it. You not study. You not take notes. If you are hardworking, you will obey me and you go and take notes and study it. If you study it and come back, if you still don't get it, then I might answer you. Of course, I have no guarantee of telling you I'll say what you like. Because sometimes I'll just tell you know that's not the real question. And the real thing is you have an idol. You have an idol of 1, 2, 3. That's your problem. But you're using this because you want to use this to protect the idol. That's the only challenge with speaking with me first. So it's better to speak with your shepherd first because me, I'll bypass your pretend issue. It's the root. As you're talking, some you haven't finished 2 sentences. Especially if some I already knew before you even came to me. I am serious about these things. Save yourself. You've picked up sin in the spirit. You have a defilement of the spirit. Have you read 2 Corinthians 6, 7 verse 1? It says, therefore, leaving the discussion, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He calls it filthiness of the... So there are 2 major ways you can be defiled. Flesh and spirit. Okay? The flesh are the things you picked up in the physical realm. The spirit are the things you picked up into your mind. The teachings, false doctrines, errors that came into your heart and mind. That is the flesh. Is that okay? That's the spirit, sorry. That's the filthiness of the spirit. You must not have anything. This says everything that defiles body and spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves. Why would he say this to born again Christians if it was not necessary? He calls them beloved because there's warfare. I hope you know chapter 7 verse 1 did not start there. It started much earlier, including chapter 6 verse 14. What has the temple of God to do with idols? Do you remember? What has righteousness to do with unrighteousness? What unbelievers to do with believers? How many of you out there you mix with unbelievers? It is after this, he now said, cleanse yourself. Are you understanding? When you've been mixing with people who have idols, every time you went and sat in a meeting where they said, today, this seminar will be looking at the four major ways of making wealth, you are defiled. Every time, we are out of time. Every time you hear something contrary to walking in obedience to God under a sky from which manna comes in the morning. Have you heard that his mercies are new? Every morning. Did you understand that's manna? What else happened every morning? You sang in the morning. It is manna. Manna is the mercy. It's new every morning. Lamentations 3. So the manna comes. The God's provision. Every morning is every new dawn. Every new season commencing. God provides your needs according to his riches. Is this clear? If this is so, you must trust him. If you don't trust him, you are going to be, you will hear everything we've preached about how God provides, how you trust him. You see all the hands that go up. How many of you didn't have any money and you ate even better than when you had money? Well, I wasn't really asking, but let's do it. There are new people here who don't know. When you are lack money, it's like God takes care of you better than normal. Raise your hands. Have you seen this? Do you think I could pay these people to? This is real. This is my God. I've known him. I knew him when I was young, like most of you in my early 20s. And I've known him after I've had a family of any number. It doesn't matter the number. I've seen him. He hasn't changed. They didn't tell me. I leave it. He has not changed. He didn't say, well, come. This is not those days you were a student. You know, it was only I was taking off. You cannot carry 8 people and come with you and expect manna to be falling from the sky. The manna has fallen in the same way. He's the faithful God. But what happens the moment you sit and your mind starts to play salsa, ping, ping, ding, ping, ping? Who has this happened to? You start a conference, you read a book. Suddenly your mind starts saying, it's not that the word of God is not true, but you know, you must add wisdom. You stupid, stupid. So God's own is what? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. So now you're struggling. Should I go with man's wisdom and combine it with God's foolishness? How are you going to combine it? What has the temple of God to do with idols? And a full-time idolater who has spent 45 years running after the idol called wealth. You're reading his book, a priest of Baal. You have no understanding. When I stand and say, don't read those books, you want me to explain all of this before you stop reading it? Why should I explain? How did I know? How did I know it myself? Is it not from reading the original source of wisdom so much that when I touch those things, I look at one page. This book is so popular. Why are people reading this? Go and check all those people if they were reading the Bible. While I was swallowing my Bible in 6 hour modules, in 4 hour modules, they are reading Rich Dad Poor Dad. They are reading, those are old now, but in my time, university was new. Richest Man in Babylon. You're busy reading that. Go and check if they read the Bible, how I read the Bible. Never. You can't serve two masters. As I was serving this master, soaking my mind. When I read my Bible, I learn principles of, in quote, making wealth. What did I learn? Be diligent, be honest, be hardworking. Case studies, Jacob. Be obedient, walk by faith. Case study, Abraham. Be obedient, listen to the commands of God. Case study, Isaac. Case study. There are case studies from Genesis to Revelation that taught me. So when I worked not in the temple, in an office, I was faithful. In all the offices I worked in, I was faithful. I was honest. I strive to do what I should do. What happened in all those offices? They honored me. You serve your master, he will honor you. Is that not the scripture? What did Jesus say in the book of John, chapter 12? That if any man serves him, his father will honor him. In the same way, it's not till you're a preacher. I didn't get blessed only when I was a preacher. I worked in offices. I've told you how I got my first car. I went to the office in an Okada 2007. I came home in a car, a big car, Mercedes. I didn't know there would be a car. There was zero plan. I went to an Okada, came home with the car, drove into my father's compound and parked. And that was that. Second car, I bought that one from my dad for 50,000. Third car, Honda Accord. They told me to drive it home and park after I went for a work trip. Fourth car, fifth car. How many cars did I have driven? Five in 7 years. Five it was in 7 years. Like that. I wasn't a man of God. I was a worker. They said, no, if you're serving God, you know God will always pay. No, if you serve people too, serve, be faithful. And then you can turn and say, and take note, this is not faithfulness over 3 months. That's not how it works. You serve faithfully. Jacob served for 14 years first. 14. Just for wives. Then after that, his master said, let me settle you. And it took 6 years for him to enter his own wealth. And he became greater than his master. Stop complicating it. No, you have to read the principle. You're just about to waste your time soaking your brain with rubbish that will stay there and fight war in your head with the word of God for the rest of your life. Again, if I said this when I was 20, you'd have said, young man, you don't know anything. Sit down. Keep quiet. Let those who know talk. You can't tell me that now, no. I'm not that young. I don't need anything. Have I made that clear before? I don't need anything. You can't stand there and say, what do you need? If I need it, I'll have it. I don't need anything. Everybody around me eats more than me. I don't need anything. If I want to eat anything, I could eat it. Just I'm not interested in eating it. Not walking around, hey, he's serving God. Now, wow, all I had to give up. Give up what? I'm so happy helping people on the way to the kingdom. You couldn't get a better job. Having Rema, heaven open over your head. Abba, kicking out demons, causing problems for the kingdom of darkness, leading a group of people towards Zion on the way, taking out enemies. What do you want? It's a splendid life. So what do I want? Food. If I want it, I've told you this. Have you not heard? Cyrillac. I'm preaching like this. Cyrillac. I step out from here. Cyrillac. I used to like it as a child. But you couldn't really eat it. But small. I didn't finish driving to where my destination was. I had 4 cans in my car at 200 naira. Who sells a can of something that is worth 2,000 naira for 200 naira? Nobody. They sold it to me. Because my God said, now, wow. I go tell this boy me preach. He go to talk of Cyrillac. Give him Cyrillac. In a supermarket, I never enter. This is not, they say, my wife was there. We entered Central Supermarket on Wrong Road. You see how busy that place is? You don't know Central Supermarket by Udall Manor? It's closed now. It's gone. It no more exists. Those were the first supermarkets in you. Now, this is not that long. Some 5-7 years ago. No. And there it is on as they came to pay, we stopped to buy a toothbrush. See them sitting down. You say, how much? They said, 250 or 500, whatever. I said, give 200. They say, oh, carry. I said, man, we should have said 150. Don't tell me that's a coincidence. Why did I mention it while I was preaching? It's from the meeting I mentioned. I said, oh, Cyrillac. First time ever. The Cyrillac, they just kept it for me. Made sure I didn't buy toothbrush from all the other shops that you can buy. I used to buy things at that junction there. I don't know why I didn't buy. There was a shop there. I didn't know it was still there. I was living at CCC. There are supermarkets everywhere. Why did I stop at that one? Because God said, give the boy Cyrillac. Give it to him till it comes out of his nose and his ears. Give him Cyrillac. When they tell him, preach, you've got to be mentioning what you loved as a child. Give the boy Cyrillac. 14. I got to where I went, opened it, used a spoon, scooped some. I forgot it after a while. I don't know what happened to it. I think they ate it. My children later. But that's it. That's my God. Don't tell me someone was not smiling upstairs. Don't tell me. Don't. Well, you don't look it. No. I've seen this happen a couple of times. It brought me rice. Things were hard. And I said, Kai, this thing will be nice with banana. Brum. Left. Banana ripe. Just passing my window. Keke from my in-laws' village. With food stuff. They didn't even come along. I don't know how they sent it. Ripe banana. So they just gave me the rice. I said, don't we have banana? Brum. 2 seconds. 1 second. There's a banana passing my window. Coming to us. I said, bring it. Big yellow, not 5 bananas, a lot of bananas. Of course, I can't eat more than 2 or 3, but that's it. The point is, I know that God. What principle? You say you want to teach me what? Principle of what? So I'll leave what I'm to do and go and be distracted everywhere. Money, where are you? Ego? Ego? As though you're looking for something that was lost. Something you didn't have. How can you lose something you didn't have? You don't understand. The way some of you look for money. You know if someone was in the house and got missing and you're shouting their name. This one, you're looking for what you're not even sure exists. Something ephemeral. Something that you don't know of. This is the truth about fighting the battles of the king. If you go out pursuing money, pursue other things, you will get smeared. If you will fight according to his rules. You remember this was a perfect battle. Do you remember this battle where no one died? You know that's what I continue reading from last night. Nobody died, but they still had to stay outside the camp. There was no loss directly, but they were still defiled. Defilement is automatic. Defilement is not, you don't plan it. Defilement is automatic. Watch what you read. Watch what you listen to. Watch where you go to. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. It's not everybody that was kept outside the camp. You know that. It's only those that had killed someone or touched a dead body. So it's not every time you go to battle that you get defiled. You get defiled when in the battle you come in contact with things that defile. Haggai chapter 2. They are unclean things. Those are the things that defile a man. Do you remember? Not what goes into a man. What comes out of his heart. Now, some people get confused. Now, there's nothing you can read or watch that can defile you. That's not what he said. He said, it is what goes into a man, not physically his mouth, but his heart. His heart's mouth. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth releases immorality. You can read this in the book of Matthew 15. Give me the list. All the things that defile. These are the things you pick up when you eat or let in evil things. The next verse now. Just keep going. Verse 19. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder. Adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. So what are the things you could have picked up when you went out to war in this world? You pick evil thoughts. Your mind starts, you heard others think evil thoughts. You watched others thinking. You heard them talk about it. It can rub off on you. Murder. Next thing, you're angry, you're hating on people. You've been around people that keep saying things like, I just hate this person. No, I hate them. No. I can never, if that person in this room, I can never stay in the same space. When you're around people who talk like that a lot, it will rub off on you. So from your saying, don't talk like that. No, leave it. After a while, it will rub off on you. I think it's Chiamaka that was in youth service. I just remembered it. And she had roommates that their mouth was like a sewage pipe. Is you? Years ago. Sewage pipe. Very filthy. I'm sure she can't tell us what they used to say. You can't. You can't talk. It's nasty. Girls. How many were there? I'm not hearing you. How many were there? All of them. Their mouth was dirty.
They were just around.
A gang of. What did you do? Remind us. How?
I started praying in tongues. I started praying in tongues.
How? In your heart?
I will shout and I will pray when they want to. like when they start speaking faith, I will start praying. And
this praying is not working for me. Let me explain what the girl did. She had this roommate in camp. Three weeks of survival. And you guys have to be reminding, telling these stories. I'm just remembering it. Because people are going for service. If you don't learn from others who have fought battles, and she's there trying to hold on to her Christian life, and people will be saying filled. She didn't keep quiet. She goes, Reken! How did they respond?
They were like, eh?
Go on.
So in PG,
because it didn't happen once.
Like that kind of different expressions. Then someone say, Pastor, that don't start. Keep quiet though, that kind of thing. It ended things sharp.
How long, how many times did you have to fight that battle?
I kept doing it until they stopped.
Are you hearing?
They stopped doing.
Did you hear? Young, you'll be there saying, well, there's nothing you can do now. Yeah, we have finished speech. And you have freedom of collect. It wasn't once. It wasn't a one time. Say, hey, pastor's daughter. She was not any pastor's daughter. Except mine. If they knew her story, which pastor's daughter? But she knew she had to fight to survive. So she fought. Are you understanding? She pushed back. What were they doing? They were with their cups and buckets of filth. That's how many of you have been around someone? They always say something. Next thing you're by your own. You hated it when they say, but you start hearing the word in your head, wanting to come out of your mouth up and down. Whether it's good, bad, whatever, it's just there. That because words smell filth. That's how. So they've touched a dead body and they are spreading their contagion. She had to fight back. And even that, not necessarily enough. But at least she fought back. She struck back at them with the sword, the word of God, the spirit of truth, and conquered till they gave up and ran. They stopped speaking field. They got to know what is triggering. That was the first time. After that, they knew why she's doing it. You have a right to talk. I have a right to pray. It is what it is. Are you understanding? This is the truth about this world. Some people acting like they own every space. You don't own every space. You want to do evil, go to your corner. This is a space we all occupy. And I have a right to occupy my own space too. Sexual immorality, theft. You see people doing, everybody in your office, you a righteous, honest person, till you got to that school, till you got to that workplace. Now you steal. First two times, you say, God will forgive me. Now you've been there for 7 years. You're an old, it's nothing. What do you think happened there? The battle has conquered you. Slander, everybody is gossiping against people. False testimony, you say things that are not true. They ask you what happened. You say, that's how it happened now. I'm saying that's when I came. I came before it. An absolute lie. You can tell it. How did you get to that place? The dust of battle. Is this clear? Go back to Numbers 31. It is the job of the priests, the pastors, the servants of God to ensure that you clean up. Is this clear? But you must carry yourself to them. And everything that cannot withstand the fire must pass through the water. Have you seen this? Fire is the major way if it's metallic. If the person is more solid with God, sometimes all you need to say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you spirit of this, that, that's it. Just the fire of God can cleanse the person. Are you hearing? Do you remember his word is a fire too? Some rebukes. Are you hearing? What is this thing I've been hearing you say since you came back here? Don't let me hear you talk like that again. Where do you think you are? Did you just see me apply fire? Did you understand it? That's it. A fire cleansing. Now he's metal. He will survive it. After that, I rinse some water. Do you see? She's still clean with water. Say, listen, you know, then you pray for him. Father, I ask that you release him. Every influence. Father, I'm asking. It's like you open your Bible. Read this place. Didn't you see this place? Done. That can be done in 2 minutes, 5 minutes. It doesn't mean he shouldn't give time to be with God, depending on how the battle was. Did you pick blood? They didn't touch. They are the ones that will tell you, I touched a dead body. They are the ones that will tell you, oh, I contacted something nasty. Why do I pray for almost everybody when they go for a burial and come back? Because they collect and come back. I'm telling you. Now, must you collect? No. But it's very common that they do. I cannot wait to be explained. These days, I don't even explain. I just tell, where are they? Come here. Next thing, you see someone that was delivered 3 years ago. Go, what's that? What's that? Early days, I will have time to ask you, so how did it go? What happened? These days, I don't even ask. I don't lay hands. That's what I do. I'm telling you, this is real. They went for a burial. Some the Holy Ghost would tell me, that one went and touched dead body. Oh. That one touched dead body. And when I finished praying and asking for mercy, then they will now confess to their shepherd. I'm like, hey, went and touched dead body. Went and touched a goddess of your land in the name of. You go to like Christmas Village, I read it yesterday. Who has heard? That they had different local governments coming. And then someone shows up and said that before this God comes out, that there has to be rain. Who heard? Who has read that thing? I saw it when we finished the leaders meeting yesterday about 4 a.m. That's why I saw it in my phone. It rained only in Christmas Village. And you're in that space. They brought out a God that when he comes out, it's a river God. The priest said something. The skies opened. Wow. And they say it was not small rain. You want to tell me that is maybe, maybe what? So that rain touching, not be demon bat be that. Who pour bucket? Well, what may have taken you there? Business. You went to sell your popcorn. Are you understanding me? So I'm trying to say this whole world is problematic. So, you bring fire on them. You purge them with fire. The word of God is a fire, Jeremiah 23. You purge them with fire. It can be the word spoken fiercely. It can, because you notice, what's this thing you're doing? Since you came back, I don't see you in church meetings. You do anyhow. You come late for every meeting. What's wrong with you? Some of you I see, some of our people that are not as obedient as they can be. Some of them say, I'm praying. Hey, then they come late for every meeting. Is that thing? They just need some fire. Just come here. Because as they're praying, you know they've gone somewhere in the spirit. Yes. You know they're worrying. And they come back with... Take note, they have to be metallic to go through fire. So you don't mistakenly burn up paper and wood. Are you hearing me? You must know the other kinds. Do you understand? The Bible says those ones cannot withstand the fire. They must pass through the water. So you sit them down and educate them. Say, listen, I know you're new. You don't really understand these things. Are you understanding? Put them through a small Bible study. Wash them. Bathe them. Show them this. What? Read. Okay. So this is, you shouldn't have done that, or this is how you do. Are you understanding? Water treatment. They are fine. And I believe this affects even your physical body. Some of you, these battles you fight, even some, that's why people get healed a lot of all kinds of things quietly in this house, because a lot of even physical afflictions came from those battles. So we must become people who have understanding. Have you learned anything today? How many questions? None. 9 only. Is that laughter laced with fear? I almost heard like that slight. Oh God, don't do it. Hunger is knocking at your door. How many of you did not eat before you came? I should have made all of you not eat. We have 2 things to do. Should we do the rapid fire answer? Can we? Are all the questions like that? Let's answer it, so I'll be free. What about someone who was receptive the first day, was seeking help? She had an experience and explained demons were keeping her from knowing God and wanted deliverance. The next day, it's like you're talking to a different person. Do you continue speaking to her? Yeah, but before that, you have to rebuke a spirit. You have to say, hey, Sorry, 1 second. The moment you realize that it's like a different person, then you know spirits are involved. They've activated. When she left you, they've activated. It's a very normal thing. Rebecca Brown said she would sometimes be talking to someone, and the person, and then she goes, "Ah, in Jesus' name, I rebuke every spirit of this thing." The person's like, "Huh? Did you what? Do you know this soap opera? Do you watch it?" And me, I watched part one. Very funny. Okay. Uh-huh. So, like we were saying before, are you interested in angels? And he said they would go, "Yes, yes." I don't know how come I've never the same person, because it's demons. Oh, demons are everywhere. It's just that we don't know. So you pray for the person. You take authority. Some quietly under your breath in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this brother. I take authority over anything here. Any wicked spirit that tries to attack any of us, be gone. Amen. Peace to us. Amen. Uh-huh. So I was saying to you, what do you think about your response to Jesus so far in this life? So you bind the enemy and you take charge. Next, how do you manage to pastor even while you are occupied in the season when you are working? How can those whose time has not yet come to cut off from all other engagements pastor effectively and do God's work? Very good question. Answer, I did not really pastor. Really, I thought. I was with a church group at the time. From 2010, I was pastoring, leading. But those were not, I didn't see those people much. A lot of them were family members. I was more of teaching them. I wasn't pastoring them as much as the preacher, the main preacher in the congregation. Are you hearing me? Yes. Some were older people. I didn't shepherd. We didn't have a structure to care for people the way we do now. So a preacher is a bit different from a pastor. A pastor can be a title. They could tell me pray for something. They could tell me, but generally it was not as much pastoring as teaching. I hope that's clear. Teaching and guiding the house, ruling over the house. But with time, a time came in 2015. Well, when I started pastoring again, this time it was 2016, I had resigned my job and everything. Okay? So, my pastoring, if I did any before, was very light. Praying for people was very light. How many people? I don't even count it like anything. Completely different from 2016, where I'm attending to people all the time. All the time, one way and the other. Preaching, attending to people, praying for people, counseling people, instructing people. Exhorting, correcting, encouraging. I hope this is clear. Yeah, but if you're going to ask how it's possible to do it, time. Just set aside fixed times to attend to God's sheep under your care. You can do that. You can walk, but you have fixed times. So it'll be good that you free up your certain evenings and then you see me even till now. I finish a meeting and I still hang around and, you know, that's pastoring. But I do a lot of pastoring by proxy. I have a group of leaders. Nobody, you can't pastor more than about 100 to 200 people effectively. You can't even handle that, even if that's all you do effectively, to take care of people. So I train people to do things. I do it for them and I train them. Then I make them do it. That's the discipleship model of scripture. That's what Jesus told us to do. Any other method will crush you. And it's why there are very few real pastors. Most pastors are just preachers. They preach to their people. They can't really take care of them. Then they may be told, come and pray, come and do it, which is pastoring too. But if you're going to do it better, you need time. Time is for a pastor, he needs time. That's why if you want people to pastor effectively, you need to free them up from many responsibilities. So I didn't pastor effectively during that time. And God didn't give me many people to pastor. At this time, in the last 7 years, I've pastored for real, extensively. I was pastoring since university, taking care of people, but there weren't many. There weren't many. All right, so I hope I've answered you a bit in a way that will help you. I focus rather on addressing those who have to work, do other things from Monday to Friday, some even Saturday. You can never be an effective pastor. It is what it is. It doesn't mean you're not helping. It doesn't mean you may not be the only pastor in their lives. But almost everybody here was never pastor before they came here. It's normal. We didn't grow up pastored. We grew up going to church and having a preacher. Yes? It's here that most people got to know what a pastor means. Not the title, the job. It's a job. It's not a title. A job of caring for sheep. It is not done primarily only doing preaching. As I'm preaching, I'm putting oil on your wounds and all that. I know. But after now, there's also the personal touch where you lift up the hoof, the fleece, you check it and pull out mites and attend to them a bit more close up. That is pastoring. Leviticus 19:27, it says, don't cut the hair on the sides of your head. When did we read this today? Focus. We said, read Leviticus 19. You went and read everything. When did we talk about it? Cutting hair, clipping the edge of your beard. What would it mean? Go and ask God. Ask me another day. Time. I've heard of cases where these men of God take the money, get sick or die, and people say it's because they took money from church. Why? According to the law, they did no wrong. What are you talking about? You won't be paying attention when they are preaching. How many of you heard me say it is wrong if you take it?
Yes.
You have broken covenant. You agreed to it, I said. Go and listen to what I said. They have done wrong. You agreed to be an ox that will be muzzled. You agreed. They told you shall be muzzled. We'll pay you $45,000 a month. Yes? You said yes. Now you're a thief. I told you the crime. It's not the crime of taking an offering. It's the crime of being a thief. I even said that. You lied. You bore false witness. Okay? So you have to ask God for another source for supply. According to the law, you did wrong. About God using inefficient vessels for work when he has no choice. What about Proverbs 26:6, which says, like cutting off one's own feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. So, according to you, inefficient vessels are fools. You're on your own. I'm not involved. Everybody, you see my hands are clean. I'm not involved. I don't know what this person is looking for. Next verse. I didn't say they are fools. I said insufficient people. People that are only so good. God will manage that. I didn't say they are fools. A fool is a different creature. What's the balance between God permitting Israel to marry female slaves and Israel marrying foreign wives that turn them away from the Lord? Slaves. Wives. You know, Solomon married princesses. How many of you know they don't grow up being trained to be humble? How many of you know royalty does not grow up, they will have opinions, yes? You know, he had to build a palace for his Egyptian queen and all of that. Anyways, I think the greater answer is that Moses allowed them to marry slaves in battle. Were the Midianites among the nations that he said they should destroy completely? Were they, or did you open your mouth before thinking? Among the Ites in the book of Joshua, look at it. If you look at, now I don't want to open too much, but the Bible tells you that there was, when he was talking about Solomon, he said from the places that God has said don't marry, and he mentioned the Hittites amongst others. Do you remember? And do you remember that he has specifically said that you shouldn't marry Hittite nations? You haven't found, oh, no wonder. Dear God. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. Have you seen Midianites there? Yes, no? How many of you remember what I started reading yesterday, that he said he was taking vengeance on Midian? So why did they attack Midian? Was Midian among the nations he was to wipe out and he shouldn't enter into an agreement with? So if you look at verse 3, he says, verse 2, make no covenant with them. Verse 3, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you should not give unto his son, nor his son to your daughter. Now, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 2. I'm doing your work, oh. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. Verse 1, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moab, Ammon, Edom, and Sidon. Read. as well as Hittite women. Then the next line. These women were from the nations about which God had told Israelites you must not intermarry them. I wish I didn't speak about this so much because there's a word I have for us from here in the book of Nehemiah and we are out of time. Remind me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This question, I've answered it, but I want to answer it more later. Are we done? What is the practical working of the purification in our church group? Serious questions. Real questions. In our church group, if you didn't hear it before, when you go and come, whether while you are here, going out for evangelism, going out to school, going to your work, going to whatever you do, when you notice it seems you're not feeling okay spiritually anymore, it is possibly a sign you have touched a dead body. Are you hearing? If you're feeling death in your spiritual life, it's likely you have touched death. Huh? Carry your body to your discipler and tell them, I'm feeling this. Did you hear me say, okay, during the family meeting last week, I said that we are setting up a restoration team. So ask and you'll be connected to the restoration team and they will work with you. They will walk you through a process. Do whatever they say. They tell you, take a day. What day are you free next? You need to fast and pray. You need to be free. You need to come aside. Let's find a room, a place for you that is quiet. Go there. Stay there. Drop your phone. Don't carry it along. Go there. Spend the day from morning till evening. The face of God. Come out. How do you feel now? Tell me how things are for the next 3 days. After that, for the next 7 days. Update. Are you hearing? That will be the practical outworking. Okay? It will be actual practical sessions of being under the word. It may be being in a meeting. You may come here. How many of you have come? You're feeling all sorts of things, all that. And I come and preach. I preach on the matter, address the matter. I pray. And after that, things change. That's me doing my priestly duty. It didn't have to be the other way. That's it. That's the duty being done. If I've done the duty, what do you want again? But there are other times when the one that seemed to be done from here is not enough. Why? Because the contact with the dead body was more serious than we realized. Do you understand? So if the one, so I am constantly doing it. That's what church was meant to be. If you come, just normal, if the Holy Spirit is here, He will purify you. Sometimes I stop and I rebuke. How many of you have picked up some bad habits you're doing and you came, I rebuked you very strongly without knowing. I mean, I didn't speak with you, but I seem to rebuke and address something and you took correction. You realized, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. That's me putting you through the fire. All right. But some people, you do that, they are offended because they are not metal. It hurts them. Some stay away from church. How many of you in the years past, you felt like staying away, you cut away for some day. Why did they talk like that? Why did they, anything? Is everybody here? So you're all righteous now. If I remember you, I will tell the story. See your head. You think I've forgotten everything? Be forming righteousness. It's not only him. His own is more recent. I'm talking about those from 7 years ago, 5 years ago. You are busy. There's a problem with older Christians. They forget. You see them sitting and listen, so right, holiness unto the Lord. Meanwhile, they've forgotten. If you see the things that used to offend them, and nobody say you call their name, they don't run. That's why new people take courage. Nobody you first bad. Are we done? Since scripture must be obeyed, there are people who do certain things like the one in Romans 16:16 and 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Greet each other with a holy kiss. What was the Holy Spirit saying through Paul? Come and kiss me. You hippo, come, let's show them how to do it. Even if they said it, this is what they meant by a holy kiss. Have you seen the Arabs?
Yes.
That you think they meant a smooch? Better mind yourself. Did anyone go to church and they kiss themselves on the mouth? It hasn't happened yet. They are crazy places though. But some people even kissing them. But it's even, they don't even really, it's demonstrating. Nah, nah. Who has time? You don't have where you're going. With us, a handshake can be the equivalent of that. Do you understand? Well done. In their own culture, he was saying, brethren, you can greet. Are you understanding? In their culture, that's how they greeted. Have you not seen Yasser Arafat? Okay, years ago. Terrorists. These are people who kill people for a living. Have you seen all these Italian mob stars? Pachita. That means they love each other. So their culture, have you heard before when the Bible say, when they'll send them, he said, do not stop and greet. Jesus said it, Elisha said it. Because their greeting was not, good morning. Who has been in the north? Have you heard them greeting themselves, good morning in the morning? Oh yeah, who is nothing? Start. In Aquana? Laugh, yeah. Agia? Huh? Gamata? Did they not get egg? You have not finished, so there's the last, you didn't comfort, there's that one that tends to wrap it up. If they start, so Jesus said, don't greet. This send, I'm sending you. I didn't send you to greet people. How will you arrive? Jesus said, go into every town, I will come after. By the time he comes, you're still on the road. The master comes walking by. Peter. He said, y'all leave greeting out of this matter. Now send, I send you. Now me send you. And that tells you something about true ministry. True ministry, you're going to have to drop a lot of expected social norms. Social norms will, it's why I don't, see, I've told you years ago, don't expect me to show up in all funerals and so many things. Don't even expect me, let me wed the ones I will marry. Marry fast. You want me to be in your wedding? Marry fast. When I'm busy, I'll send you a gift. Then the pastor must be there. If someone can wed you online, I can wed you online. Other than that, don't act like anything is too, don't be affixed to anything. We can't be engrossed in everything. And I'm a very good example. Everything, everywhere is going, everybody is doing, everybody, I don't. You will not do the will of God. You don't understand. I was sitting with this elderly gentleman yesterday. He said, we have not done enough. I said, sir, we have not. And these are the ones that are trying. These are the ones that are trying, that have been doing. These are the ones that have been doing. There are so few doing. Oh, there's so much to do. Every time I stand and look, even the things we've already laid out, even if it's just the small tracts that we are trying to write, maybe 150 already. And they have to be done, and then put in people's hands. Then you pray, they read it. Then they talk about what they read. Then they get transformed. Then they pass it to others. So where's the fruit we have for the kingdom of God? How many people understand their left from their right in the body of Christ? In the spaces we occupy, how many? Then where's the time for you to endlessly be normal? You keep being normal. You just show up for a brief church meeting, few hours, you went, that's over. Maybe you go for evangelism once a week. We are trying. Are you looking at the fruit? You're trying. How many people are growing in knowledge? If the Antichrist shows up now, how many people will not follow him or yield to him? That's why you should think. What have you put in place to make them anti-antichrist? What structure have you given that they will not bow to the beast? Which structure? What are we doing that you can sit down and fan yourself? They have time to be giving holy kiss. There's not time. That's the point I'm making. There's so much to do that I encourage everybody. You have to do anything that is social, societal. Please do it sharp, sharp. Please. Don't be wasting time. Don't pump money. Don't put in time, effort, lengthy planning. It irritates me. It's like you're not hearing me. Spend half of that time you spend planning your wedding to be praying for other people's weddings, so they can resolve their issues quickly and settle down too. Spend that time praying for the man to have a job and grow in grace and stand well and support and be able to carry and help his family. That's what you should be praying. But you spent all of it sitting down looking at 79 different dress options, greeting everybody, everything on the way. That means you're not on an assignment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have an assignment. If you have an assignment, you cannot stop. When you're rushing to catch up with your dean of your faculty or your HOD, you don't stand and be saying, hey, guy, how now? Well done. How far? How many of you have seen guys? Have you even started? Slowly, now where they rush? So how far? Where? Which side is it? Have you seen guys on the road greeting? They won't scream and hug and have hyperventilate, but they will. Now, how many of you saw someone, you are on your, I know guys are crazy. Some still stand and greet, even though they are rushing. Because according to the law of guide them, you cannot walk fast. But how many of you have been in the real pressure? I've seen, and you've seen guys that you have never seen flustered jogging. Because they say it's the last day to submit the form. You will not see his guy. Life goes on. Let's cool down for greeting in Jesus' name. Amen. And I've explained what I mean by greeting. I mean all sorts of things that take up large amounts of time that has no purpose other than to please the people of this world. Concerning the famine, what about a female who is directed to marry outside her spiritual tribe, who is less spiritual, has sat under lesser doctrine? So what do you bring this question here for? Take it away. Bring it later. You said you tell us the difference between weights and adults. Today, God bless you. Not today. All right. So keep those two questions. I'll answer them another time. Let's stand to our feet and pray, people of God. Did you learn? How many of you understand that this doctrine, this teaching, these understandings are not for show, that they are for use? How many of you know that they will come up in your life? They will come up in your life. They are not for show. I think the ordination prayer will pray tonight. On the other hand, there will be all sorts of visitors at night. No. We'll pray now. First of all, I'd like us to pray this. Lord, help me to be a good soldier. Can you pray that? Okay, we'll pray it at night. Don't worry, we'll pray it at night. Yes, can you pray, Lord, help me be a good soldier? Soldier. Lord, help me be a good soldier. Help me be a good soldier. Help me be a good soldier. Help me be a warrior, a valiant warrior. Help me now to fight well, fight in a way that pleases you. Help me exercise authority, excellent authority. Help me be skilled. My God. Lekendo badu shinde lagashi. Arababafsimbelebede kumbrebe telegado shita. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now I want you to ask the Lord to help you live a life of purity. Pray. Father God, all the time, may we be purified. May we not be defiled. May we stay clean. May we stay clean. May we stay clean. As we go to war, help us see and learn and know when we have been defiled. Let us know when we have touched blood. Let us know when we have touched dead bodies. Let us know when we have encountered false doctrines. We have come in contact with dead religion, dead false religion that deadens. Help me know, help me see, help me understand. May I not live with the bondage of defilement. Thank you, Lord God. Every false doctrine Pray with me. Father, every false doctrine, teaching, understanding that has come within me to mess up my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my loyalty to you, purge me of it. In the name of Jesus. I ask you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, Father. Everything impure, that I can spread, purge me of it. Everything I've spread already, purge those I infected. Help the priest. Help those I have oversight to purify me. Good Father, keep me clean all my days. May I be at peace in the camp. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father, I'm asking for all your children. I'm asking for mass purification.
Amen.
Today and the days to come, I ask for mass purification.
Amen.
Prepare them, Lord.
Amen.
Prepare them. Prepare their hearts and minds. Show them the areas where they got defiled, the battles where they got defiled.
Amen.
Help them see the mental battles they faced, the financial struggles they had, all the things. You finish going through a financial struggle and you start saying, if God is really like they said, then. You see, you've been defiled. Are you sure? Then you go and listen to one preacher that preaches error in that area. And you suddenly start admiring him. Start saying things like, oh, pastor, even though pastor used the Bible perfectly to show you the truth. You know you can't answer or contend with the scriptures, but you just say, well, maybe. Maybe that's how you hear people open their mouth and say, are you saying pastor knows everything? You don't say a thing like that except you have something to say. Then you better say it, because pastor is not even offended at you if you challenge anything he says, seeing he has invited you to challenge it 1,000 times. But if you have not done that and you're holding a contrary opinion, it is likely because you have contacted a dead thing. Rather than humble yourself, you resort to ad hominem attacks. Start attacking the person instead of talking about the truth. May the Lord give you grace to be delivered in this season. Father, ask that everyone that comes in peace, may our hearts be united to them. Every soldier we ever come in contact with for the rest of our life, unite our hearts with every true soldier who comes to fight for Jesus. Everyone that comes to betray us into the hands of our enemy, Lord God, judge.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I ask that you bless your children as they go.
Amen.
May all of us here be able to join the army of God.
Amen.
And fight according to his will.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
I ask that everyone here that is going to be an ox, that is an ox, may every muzzle be removed from their mouth. As for oxen out there, may muscles be removed from the mouth of Nigerian preachers in the name of Jesus. All over, oh God, those who truly serve you. Every true ox that is laboring and worthy of honor or double honor, may they find that which is theirs. Let there be a reordering of the system of things, Jesus. Let there be deliverance from unnecessary, purposeless bondage that many have suffered.
Amen.
Oh, relieve our people. Karabala fande lago shinde dapa. Can you take 30 seconds and just pray for the church of God in Nigeria? Every true laborer, relieve them, relieve them, relieve them. Remove the muzzles, Lord. You can. Remove the muzzles. Remove the muzzles. Jesus, remove the muzzles. Ali kadi gabo gaba gashada da kadi gabo gaba 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 those that have mental muscles, wrong understanding of how and where God wants to bless them from. Help them see that it's from the temple they are laboring in that they are to be provided for. Amen. Deliver them from the mindset that says you labor here, but you eat from somewhere else. May they labor so they deserve to eat where they are. Thank you, Lord God. Then I ask for all our brothers and sisters who go to war often and have been smeared so many times. I'm asking, Father, that you will zoom in on them. Let the rivers swirl around them.
Amen.
Wash your sons and daughters.
Amen.
Set them free.
Amen.
Oh, this is our prayer today. Thank you. I ask that you bless our bread and water as we go. Every offering, I ask that you receive it, use it for your glory.
Amen.
I ask that you receive praise in our gathering.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Amen.
Two announcements. One, if this is your first time, there's any first timer, you come to me right now, I'll pray for you quickly. Two, that song, We Look Upon You, will be put, if you're not on any of our groups, ask. So someone can, if you're on WhatsApp, they'll forward it to you. That's the prayer, okay? That's a prayer. That's a prayer for this whole meeting. So go look at that while you're on break between now and 5 o'clock. Pray it. Soak in it. Pray about it. The lyrics, the wordings. If you look at the YouTube video, you see the lyrics, you know, and pray along. The lyrics should also be on in the hall. You don't have to look at YouTube, you know. The MP3 file should also be dropped. Pray it. You can call it a song, but it's a prayer. That's a prayer for purification. If you put that on loop and you are in the face of the Lord with that, He will hear you. Are you hearing me? Then you have an offering. Feel free to transfer or drop cash. God bless you. See you by 5.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.